registered. Is that good? Yeah? Okay. Because we really want our congregation to participate in it, if at all possible. So I'm going to ask that you take out your Bibles. And as you're taking out your Bibles, you know, I just mentioned here a moment ago about our IWs and that. And so just to update you in that area, for me personally, my daughter-in-law is in her final trimester in the area of pregnancy. And they are on their way back to Canada, partly because of the virus, partly because she's in the third trimester, and because flights and stuff, the world is shutting down. And so right now they are, at this moment in time, they are in Nairobi. And so I would really appreciate if you keep them in prayer, because from Nairobi they fly to Paris, and then from Paris, France, they come to Canada, to Toronto, and then we don't know what's going to happen after that. Right now they're scheduled to come from Toronto to Saskatoon, but we have no idea how all of this is going to work. And so maybe I'll have a grandchild who is born in France. I don't know. But let's pray. I'd appreciate prayer, and God is in control. And I'm going to ask that you take out your Bibles. I can't change the slide at the moment. Let me give it another try. Let's see. I still can't change it. Nope. Can't change the... Maybe my remote isn't working. Can we get to the next slide? There. Let's start there, and then I'll try and see. So you have your Bibles open to 2 Peter chapter 1. And we need to move back one slide again. Now we're too far in. Can we back up one slide? There it is. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 to 21. And so you have your Bibles open. I also have it on the PowerPoint behind me, and it's the NIV version. Okay? So here we go. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I'm well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable. And you will do well to pay attention to it, as to the light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets through humans spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So that's the passage that we are looking at this morning as we continue our study in the book of 1 and 2 Peter. We've already looked at the earlier verses, verses 1 to 11. We did that, and so we're moving on from there. Today, I would say that most Christians would say that the Bible is God's voice to us, or God's word. And most Christians would say it is through the Bible that we come to know about God, that we can know God, and that we can, in a way, hear Him. That's why we call it God's Word, the Bible. And it's through the Bible that many people's lives have been transformed. I believe that every one of us probably have been transformed in one way or another through Bible reading. It was through Romans chapter 1, verse 17, For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. It was by this verse that Martin Luther turned his life around and the start of the Reformation took place. It was launched. It was launched because the Word of God spoke to Martin Luther. It got his attention. His life changed. It's the Bible that we translate into many different languages. We believe that if people can read the Bible, they will come to know God. Wycliffe Translators, an organization that exists today, is still working on translating the Bible into different languages because there are still people groups around the world that don't have the Bible in their language. And we believe that it is important that they have the Bible in their language, that they can read the Word of God in their mother tongue, if we want to put it that way. Hearing the voice of God is important. In fact, I would say it is essential to a relationship with Jesus Christ, a relationship with God. But now we come to the question, is the Bible the only way that we hear God's voice? And that's where our passage starts taking us a little bit further in this thought. As we move into 2 Peter, we find that Peter promises, because you have to remember that the early church did not have the New Testament. The early church did not have the Gospels. It isn't until later that the Gospels are written. 90, close to 100, the Gospels come, and then, in fact, with the Scriptures, as we find the New Testament, letters are sent to churches, but they aren't put together till a little later. So as we move into 2 Peter, we find here Peter promising, he promises to those that he is writing that he's going to make every effort possible to connect them with the words of Jesus. 2 Peter 1:15, your Bibles are still open there. It says, and I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. You see, Peter's not only thinking of himself, but he's realizing that all of the disciples, all of those that knew Jesus personally are dying. They're dead, they're dying. And Peter himself will die. In those words, we see an urgency. If we just back up from that to verses 13 and 14, Peter says, I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body. You can see Peter's talking about the end of his life because I know that I will soon put it aside as our Lord Jesus has made clear to me. So at this moment, the thought is, did Jesus tell Peter that his life is going to end soon? Did Jesus in some way directly communicate to Peter? And the answer is probably yes. But even more than that, Jesus had said years earlier to Peter, Jesus said, very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to Peter. It's recorded for us in John chapter 21, verse 18. And then in verse 19, John adds to this and says, Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. So from this, we come to the conclusion that Peter is now old. He's old. And whether he's going back to the promise that was made to him by Jesus himself, or whether Jesus spoke to him through words or a vision, we do not know. But Peter realizes the time is coming to an end. And Peter wants us to hear God's voice. God wants us to hear his voice. As Peter writes to us and writes to those that receive this letter through the years, he reminds us that he heard God's voice, that God spoke literally, and he heard that. 2 Peter 1, again, verses 16 to 18, it says, we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, this is my Son whom I love, with him I'm well pleased. We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. If we go back to the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, there we find the story of the transfiguration, the story of Jesus and James and John and Peter. They went up to the mountain of Tabor, the mountain of transfiguration. They were there, and God spoke, and they heard God's voice. I want us to realize that God can speak to us audibly. We see that in the scriptures. God speaks to us audibly. God spoke to many before Christ was born through dreams and visions. God spoke to many in the Old Testament through angels. God spoke to Solomon through dreams and visions. God spoke to Moses face to face. God spoke to Abraham. God spoke to Adam. God spoke to Eve. God can speak to us today. And I know that some of you here this morning, because you've shared that with me, some of you this morning have heard God speak to you audibly. Some of you have heard God speak to you through dreams and visions. And I know that others of you, again, because you've told me through stories, you've heard God speak to you through angels, through a person that is there and then not there. God speaks to us audibly today as he has in the past. Secondly, God has spoken and still speaks to us through Jesus. He still speaks to us through Jesus, through the actual witness of the life of Jesus. The Gospels are written for us to read, for us to witness the life of Jesus. Peter declares that fact, that he is an eyewitness of the life and the work of Jesus. And he wants us to be able to be also eyewitnesses. But we are eyewitnesses to the work and the life of Jesus through the Gospels. Peter and the disciples followed Jesus for 3 years. Peter was there at the very end of Jesus' life. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Peter was there, one of the first to arrive at the tomb, and he looked in, and it was empty. Peter was there in the upper room when Jesus appeared to the disciples. Peter's not passing on just kind of stories, fiction. He's passing on to us the truth. And he writes directly from the life and the mouth of Jesus to us today. Thirdly, Peter's telling us that God speaks to us through the scriptures. And I think we know that and we believe that, but do we understand it fully, what that means? Peter introduces the scriptures to us as a way that God speaks to us. He says through the prophetic message, through the scriptures themselves. And I would say that Peter at this time is referring to the Old Testament, because the Old Testament was there. Jesus himself verifies the Old Testament as the Word of God. You see, Jesus himself calls the Old Testament God's Word. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 29 to 32, Jesus is in a theological discussion with a religious teacher. And if you have your Bibles, flip over to that. Matthew 22, 29 to 32. There Jesus says to that theological teacher, to that religious teacher, Jesus says, you are in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God. And he's referring to the Old Testament. At the resurrection, people will neither marry nor be given in marriage. Now you know what the topic was about. They will be like angels in heaven. But about the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what God said to you? What God said to you, have you not read what God said to you? The Old Testament is what God said to you, to me. And then Jesus says, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And even in that phrase, in those words of Jesus, we see that every word is important. And the context of the word, and we could say the timing of the word is important. Because here Jesus uses us as an argument in this discussion, in this theological discussion. He's using the fact that God refers to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in like the present tense, meaning they are alive. They are with him. We find Jesus throughout his life, during those 3 years of ministry, quoting the Old Testament time and time again. I think of when Jesus gathered there on the lake shore. The Sermon on the Mount is what we would normally refer to it as. He's gathering there. Maybe 5,000 people are present. We're not sure, but maybe 5,000. And Jesus says, this is in Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 to 18. Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. He's talking about the Old Testament. Don't think that I've come to get rid of the Old Testament. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappears, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. The Word of God. So let's take a moment here. We're on point three, where it says God speaks to us through the Scripture. And of course, in our context of what we're reading and what we're looking at, that would be the Old Testament. So God speaks to us audibly. He speaks to us audibly. And that audible speaking can be through dreams and visions. It can be through angels, and it can be the voice of God. God speaks to us through the Old Testament. That's the third, I should say, through the witnesses first of Jesus and the Gospels that we have and the Old Testament. But God speaks to us through the New Testament. Here we are. I want to take us one step further. God speaks through the New Testament. And so Peter writes in verse 19 of the passage that we're looking at. He says this. He says, we also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable. And you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. That's verse 19 of our passage that we're looking at. Peter is using the word we, not I, meaning those who are eyewitnesses to Jesus' life, to his death and to his resurrection, those who are recording the words of God in this moment in time. And Peter's telling us that this message is completely reliable and will bring about Christ's indwelling in our hearts. That's what he's saying there. That phrase, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, means that it is through the Word of God that Christ will come and dwell in your hearts. If we continue and just move down to verse 21, we see there, it says, for prophecy never had its origin in human will, but prophets through humans spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Paul writes very similar to us in Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:16, where Paul says, all scriptures God breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. All scripture. The words or thoughts God breathed that we find here are the same as what we find in Peter, 2 Peter, carried along by the Holy Spirit. These words would have the same intent. What it means, in essence, for us today is that God used the vocabulary of the writers to express his exact thoughts. The Bible, the scriptures, the words of the prophets are the words of God. That's what it tells us. That's what Peter wants us to understand. Of course, we can add to this Jesus' words in John chapter 16, where Jesus is teaching his disciples, and it refers to us today too, where it says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. That's in reference to the Holy Spirit. And so, like the Holy Spirit guides, the Holy Spirit directs. And he's guided and directed Peter and Paul, John, and others that have written the scriptures for us today. But the Holy Spirit is also directly involved in our life today. And directly involved in our hearing God. It's not just something that happened 2,000 years ago. It happens today too. Let's go back one more time into our text. And let's read the last two verses. Verses 20 and 21. Just to refresh our memory here of what we have just looked at and kind of the summary of that, where Peter says in verses 20 and 21, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we get messed up in this concept of a prophet or prophecy. And we think that a prophet is one who tells us the future. But a prophet does not only tell us the future, the prophet tells us what God is saying today. In fact, if we look at the scriptures, we will see that prophets tell us very little about the future, and most of what they're saying deals with today and how we are to live life today. And so when we understand that and bring that back into 2 Peter, we realize that Peter is talking about all the teachers, those that have written the Word of God. But this brings us to a final conclusion in reference to hearing the voice of God. And we didn't have enough time to unpack this all this morning, but we'll have a chance maybe later on. And more of this will be unpacked in the Soul Care Conference in that area of hearing God. So important for us because we want to follow God. We need to hear God. The Bible is not something that clever people wrote, some clever people put together. That is not what the Bible is. The Bible is the Word of God. It's translated through us, through the vocabulary, we could say, of writers, of prophets. God used the person's vocabulary, the person's personality, but in that, what is recorded is exactly what he wants us to hear. Every word is important. The Holy Spirit superintended this entire process. Each word chosen and placed by God. But on the other hand, our Bible is just a book. Right? It's just a book. It's translated from the original Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic manuscripts into the English language. There are many different translations, and we're aware of that. And each one intended with a different purpose so that we would understand God, but we would understand him, we could say, through simplicity, through being accurate to the Greek and the Hebrew, through many, like there's purposes, but all of the purposes in the end are so that we would hear God. But the Bible, in many ways, is just a book. And to someone who does not believe in God, we could say it could be like Shakespeare's writings. The Holy Spirit is so key to this book. the Holy Spirit guided people to write this book. And the Holy Spirit, if you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, lives in you and will bring this book to life if you allow Him to do that. And that's what Peter's telling us. It's so important. He says he's going to make sure that we have today everything we need to love the Lord Jesus Christ, to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to obey God the Father. And all of that is through this and the Holy Spirit. But maybe this morning you say, but I don't really hear from God. When I read the Bible, I just don't hear. I don't hear from God. I don't understand what you're talking about, Pastor. I want to tell you this morning that you can hear from God. You can hear the Holy Spirit. And so a question would be, why do I not hear the Holy Spirit? I'm going to give you this morning just two reasons why you possibly don't hear the Holy Spirit. I could give you more, but I'm only going to give you two because that's all I want you to work with at this moment in time. The first possible reason why you don't hear the Holy Spirit is because of sin. That's the first possible reason. You see, there's sin between you and God. And that sin muffles the voice of God. God is speaking, but you're not hearing. It's like your hearing aid is turned off. And it's very possible that you have turned off that hearing aid because the Bible tells us about grieving the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes the Holy Spirit tells us something, but we don't like what He's here saying. And so we ignore it. And He tells us again, and we ignore it. He tells us again, and we ignore it. And soon, we don't hear Him anymore because we've been ignoring it. That's sin. That's sin when you ignore the Holy Spirit. It could be because you are living in sin. How do we overcome this? By repentance and confession. That's how we do that. So sin. The second is because we're not pursuing Him. We're not pursuing Him. And I'm afraid that many within the church are in that camp, we could say. We're not pursuing God. We're not pursuing the Holy Spirit. Because we're afraid. Because maybe we have a thought of what He's going to say to us, what He's going to ask us. But I want to tell you that if you pursue God, if you pursue the Holy Spirit, you will receive the Holy Spirit and you will hear from God. And that's where I want to end. I want to end this morning with this scripture passage, Luke chapter 11, verses 9 to 12. Because Jesus here is telling us about the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 11, verses 9 to 12, Jesus says, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." This is pursuing. Ask, seek, knock. This is pursuing. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. The one who knocks, the door will be opened. And then Jesus says, "Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion?" And we know the answer to that. No loving father would ever do that. Now here it is. Here it is, okay? This is what it's all about. This is what Jesus is telling us here in these verses. It's not about asking or pursuing like anything else. This is about the Holy Spirit. Right, if you have your Bibles open, just look at this final verse, and I'm going to read it, and then the worship team is going to come up and lead us in the closing. But this is it. It says, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children," here it comes now, "how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" There it is. There it is. I'm going to ask the worship team to come, and they're going to lead us in our closing song.
Okay, we're going to send you home just a flying. So if you stand up, if you can. And we're going to finish with a...